Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me say that I know something about you. After all these years of being a pastor, of being a minister, there's one thing I know about you, especially if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is you want God's best for your life. You want God to bless your life and your family and your friends and your church. You desire God's blessings upon you. And the good news, God has promised an abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life overflowing. A life that is full and pouring out. The psalmist said, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That is a promise from God Almighty. God wants to pour out his favor and honor upon your life. God wants to bless you beyond your own imagination. This abundant life. Rather than living a life of scarcity and barely getting by, God wants his children to experience baskets of blessings, bountiful blessings in their lives. Now, how do we do that? God governs the universe with certain physical laws, the law of gravity, the law of centrifugal force, and he also governs the spiritual world with spiritual laws. And there is a law in agriculture that applies to Christian living. In fact, we see it again and again in the scripture. God using this particular law, the law of the harvest, to describe how God works in and through our lives. How God intends to pour out his favor and blessing upon each one of us. Jesus really solidified this theme in the 6th chapter of Luke, verse 38, when he said, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so the Apostle Paul, in inviting Christians to participate in obedient, generous, sacrificial giving to the Lord, in the second chapter, or the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, he amplifies what Jesus was talking about there for all of us. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously, look at this word, it appears again and again. Grace or generous is repeated again and again in this passage. And God will generously provide all you need. Paul would say in Philippians, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. He will provide all you need and then multiply your resources, for then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. In this season of thanksgiving, may we take the blessings by which we have been blessed by God and use them to bless others. This passage of Scripture is telling us clearly in the law of the harvest that if we will be obedient and give biblically God's way, then God will pour out His blessing and generosity upon us and through us. That God's presence and His provision and His power will work mightily in our lives. Is there any doubt when you read the Scriptures that God intends for us to invest our lives, to plant our lives like seeds in order that we would bear fruit to the glory of God? Is there any doubt that if we will obey Him, God will reward our obedience? Now, the law of the harvest is really a simple thing. It's found in that first verse we read, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. It said, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And there are certain principles that we need to apply in this law of sowing and reaping. One is we reap what we sow. We reap the same as we sow. Two, we reap more than we sow. Wouldn't make sense to sow seeds if the seeds did not produce and reproduce. And not only do we reap what we sow and more than we sow, but we reap later than we sow. And this is the law of the harvest. Let's talk about it today. First of all, we reap what we sow. That's the law of investment or the law of identification. Every farmer knows this. It's simple, isn't it? Child understands this. You sow an orange seed, you get oranges. You sow wheat seeds, you get wheat. You sow weeds, and you get weeds. This principle, we reap what we sow, is written into all human experience as well as in the Bible. For example, what's true in the natural realm is true in the moral realm. The moral realm. Jesus said, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness will reap the same. Hosea the prophet put it this way, sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The apostle Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, they shall also reap. If you sow corruption, you will reap the same. You will reap corruption. And so in our moral lives, it is vital that we develop character, that we sow seeds of purity and seeds of conviction and seeds of devotion to God, that we reap not corruption, but that we reap incorruption. That's a law of morality. It's also true in a nation. If a nation sows oppression, then ultimately that nation will get rebellion and revolution. If a nation sows immorality, as we are seeing in our own beloved nation this day, then that nation will reap corruption and moral decay. On the other hand, if a nation sows faith and character and truth and righteousness and honesty and integrity, then that nation will reap peace and strength and righteousness. What is true of a nation, what is true of an individual, is true of is true of a church. If a church sows vision and faith and courage, it will reap fruitfulness and effectiveness. We've seen that time and again in our church. As the people of Prestonwood have said, we are going to sow seeds, investing in the work of our church. We have a vision to fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime. And so whether it was investing here when this was just a cow pasture and God gave us a dream of a great church on this plot of land, or whether it was saying, okay, let's go to Prosper, let's plant a church in Prosper, let's sow seeds there because we believe God wants to bear fruit in that region, or whether it's buying a piece of property back in Dallas, our Dallas campus, and saying, we believe there are thousands of people who need to be reached, we're going to sow seeds, we're going to plant Prestonwood in that area. It's the promise of God that what we sow, we will reap. And we are reaping the rewards and the blessings of God because this church has determined to be God's church. What's true of a nation, what's true of a church, is also true of individuals. We reap what we sow. If a person sows faith and repentance, that person reaps forgiveness and eternal life. And then as believers and followers of Christ, if we sow generosity in our lives, if we, as Paul is showing us here in this passage, if we put the seed in the ground, what God has given us, the way that God has prospered us, if we in return give that back, then God is going to pour out His blessings upon our lives. In other words, you reap what you sow. You live to give. Everything that is alive, everything that God makes that lives, gives. And it's not enough simply to ask God to bless your life. Now, God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out good and gracious gifts to each one of us. He has given us all things richly to enjoy in Jesus Christ. God wants to give good things to His children. Our Father delights to bless His kids. Jesus said, what father, if his son asked for a fish, would give him a stone? We are earthly fathers. We're limited, but God is not limited. God wants to pour out blessing after blessing upon His children and through His children's lives. But like farmers, we can't just sit back and say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, unless we are willing, according to God's law of the harvest, to sow seeds of obedience and faith and devotion to Him and generosity. We must be willing to operate according to God's laws. I mean, you could say, okay, I believe God, if I jump off the top of this building, that He'll deliver me from the law of gravity. Well, He might choose to do that, but most likely you're going to wake up in heaven, all right? Because you have broken one of God's laws, inexorable, invisible, invincible laws. And when it comes to life and living and giving, this law operates in the same manner. It is a behind-the-scenes look at the way God operates and chooses to bless His children. And God, therefore, a farmer doesn't just say, oh, Lord, just bless me. I've got this seed here. I'm going to hold on to my seed, but You bless my farm anyway. I love the story of the farmer. He invited his pastor over to see his farm, and God had blessed this man. He had a great farm and crops and a ranch and all the rest. So he was showing his pastor around. They got in a pickup truck. They just seemed to drive all day seeing this large ranch. And all along, the pastor was trying to be, rather spiritual and pious. And he was saying, well, the Lord blessed you with that. Oh, God blessed you with that. Oh, what a blessing that is. God really blessed you with that, did he? Finally, the farmer kind of had enough of all that. He said, yeah, the Lord blessed me for sure, but you should have seen this when the Lord had it all by Himself. Now, we know every blessing comes from God, but God has set in motion this law that we reap what we sow. And that is what the Scripture is driving home to us today. God wants to bless you, but you must identify with this law. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Listen to this. It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy. But those who are stingy lose everything. Watch this. This is God's word. The generous prosper and are satisfied. those who refresh others, they are refreshed. In other words, if you want love, the way to receive love is to give love. If you want joy, the way to receive joy in your life is to give joy, to refresh others. What did Jesus say? It is more blessed, happy are those who understand. Blessed are they. It is more righteous. It is better to give than to receive. Blessed are they who give and then receive. So that's the law of the harvest. If you want to have friends, then be a friend. The proverb says, he who would have friends should show himself friendly. That's the law of the harvest. To put it another way, it is the law of consequences. There are consequences in our lives. I like the way the Message gives Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The miserly are miserable. And God says, God promises, if you sow generously into the lives of others, if you give yourself in devotion to me, you will reap generosity. This is a behind-the-scenes look at the way God operates. And why does God operate in this way? Because God himself is a generous giver. The most generous giver in the universe is God himself. The greatest verse on giving in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Again, I repeat it, everything that has the life of God in it gives. And because we have God's life in us, he wants to give through us. And he operates on this law of the harvest and a plan of economy that is different than the world. He wants you. Why does God want us to give? God wants us to learn to be like him. And you're never more like Jesus than when you're giving your life away. He who did not spare his own son, will he not freely, fully give us all things? That's God. That's God. And God wants us to participate with him in blessing the world. God wants us to partner with him financially in this world enterprise of the gospel. And when you plant your life, when you give your life, you participate in this work. And God always rewards his workers every time. That's the principle of identity, or the principle of investment. What we sow, we reap. But there's a second part to the law of the harvest, and that is the principle of intensification. I mean, it wouldn't make sense if a farmer planted a seed and got one apple. No, you plant an apple seed and you get a bushel of apples. Someone said, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God could count the apples in a seed. That's the law of multiplication. That's what the scripture is talking about here. When we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly, but when we sow generously, bountifully, we reap the same and more. Now look, I want to do a disclaimer right here, because I know that there are some who have abused this principle. There are some who will tell you, you give to me or give to this ministry or give to this thing and God's going to bless you and you'll start wearing Rolexes and driving Rolls Royces and so on and so on. We all know there's abuse in this. But that doesn't lessen the fact, the spiritual fact, that God says just as you plant seeds and get more than you planted, God is promising you that if you are generous with what he has given you, he is going to multiply that in and through your life. Amen. That's God's favor. Undeserved? Yes. But it is the grace and favor of God that He takes what we give and then meets our needs, but beyond meeting our needs according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ, He multiplies our resources. We get far more back than we ever gave. That is a biblical fact. Now, when Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians and therefore giving us God's word today, he was not writing and asking them to give so that he could get rich. He was inviting them, imploring them to give, not to get rich, but because they were Christians. That's why we give. Not to get rich, but to be enriched by God because we are His children. Because we are Christians, you give. He was challenging us to sow and to grow, because let me tell you something, this is where some of you are missing God's best for your life. You're cutting God off. You're not producing spiritual fruit. And it's because you have to sow in order to grow. If you're not sowing, you're not growing. Period. And so Paul is explaining how when we sow and spread the wealth around for the sake of the gospel, he multiplies us. He's teaching us how to sow and grow our own lives and our own families built upon foundations of faith and generosity. And what you give away is not a loss, it's an investment. Somebody help me and say amen. Yeah. When we ask you to give, we're not asking for a contribution. That's the problem in most churches. Most people are just contributing. We are inviting you to make an investment in the work of Jesus Christ. And when you make an investment in the work of God, count on the fact that the returns are on the way. You reap what you sow, identification. You reap more than you sow, intensification. What if a farmer said, oh no, I've got this little seed left. I've just got a little bit left. I better hold on to this seed. I better save this seed for a rainy day. I better put this seed in the cabinet. I better lock this seed up in the cabinet. Does that make sense? No, the only thing that makes sense if you just have a little bit of seed left is what? Throw it in the ground. Put it in the ground. Because only when you put it in the ground can it grow. And if you're facing a financial situation in your life where times are hard and times are tough, and frankly, many people don't give because they have fears about the future. They have fears about whether they're going to get by enough or get by in the future. The worst thing you can do is hold on to the seed that you've been given. That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is to partner by God by investing in the work of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. When we give, God is able to make it all up to us by giving us everything we need. And what's that next word? More. So that there will not be only enough for our needs, but we will have plenty left over so that we can give joyfully to others. Then down in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That's an amazing verse. Because God says He blesses you so that you can bless others, and the results will be people will be giving thanksgiving to God. God does not bless us to be greedy. God blesses us to be generous. God does not give us good things to stack them up and to store them up, but rather to share them in the work of Christ. Sometimes you can find a strange message from the least likely sources. I was given an article this week regarding Stephen King and an accident that he had which woke him up as to how he should live his life. Stephen King, the fictional writer. He said, a couple of years ago, I found out what "you can't take it with you" means. I found out while I was lying in a ditch at the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. Not even on Black Friday. We all know that life is ephemeral. But on that particular day and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Stephen King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be a quarter past getting late whether you tell time on a Timex or a Rolex. No matter how large your bank account, no matter how many your credit cards you have, sooner or later things will begin to go wrong with the only three things you have that you can really call your own: your body, your spirit, and your mind. So I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. Now, this is not a Baptist preacher telling you this. I'm not even sure that Stephen King is a Christian. But he says, all you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. World need, especially in Africa and Asia, is not a pretty picture. But we have the power to help, the power to change. And why should we refuse? Because we're going to take it with us? Please. Giving is a way of taking the focus off the money we make and putting it back where it belongs, on the lives we lead, the families we raise, the communities that nurture us. A life of giving, not just money, but time and spirit, repays. Oh, Stephen knows the law of the harvest. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now we have the power to do great good for others and for ourselves. So I ask you to begin giving and continue as you began. I think you'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. Preach it, Stephen King. That's scary good. If you will live God's way, rather than living for self and self-centeredness and self-absorption and making life about you, guess what? Life is not about us. It's not about you. It's not about how much you have or how many credit cards are in your wallet or what's in your portfolio. What matters is what you do with what God has given you. There are the givers in this world and there are the takers. Which one are you? When you invest, you get involved with Him. Over the next several weeks, we're going to continue giving to our World Mission Offering, Together for the Gospel. Our church invests in not only the ministry of this community, but beyond this community. We give away, we start churches, we build seminaries, we support over 5,000 missionaries through Southern Baptist Missions. We're involved in a multitude of ways of giving back to the community through this congregation, through this church. And I want to challenge you to be a part of this. Because look, there is a great deal of need in this world, a need for love, God's love. What the world needs now is love, God's love. And if you will invest, just your investment here and now can be multiplied to the ends of the earth, the people that you will never meet that are going to walk up to you in heaven someday and say, thank you for giving to that mission offering. Thank you for investing in the work of Jesus Christ, because I'm in heaven today because you planted a seed. You invested in my life. That's how to live. That's how to get God's best in your life. And God will enrich you for doing so. But if you hold on, I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen. But a lot of struggle and pain. Hey, do something for me. Let me see your fist. Put your fist up like that. Don't shake it at me. I know I'm preaching about money, but don't shake your fist at me. Just hold it tight, all right? Now hold it tighter. Come on, you can do better than that. I know you've been working out. Hold it tighter. Say, this is stupid, I'm not doing this. Okay, you don't have to do it, but those of you who will, just hold it tighter. Tighter, tighter, tighter. Are you holding it? Come on, come on. Tighter, tighter, keep gripping, keep holding. Come on, as long as you can, keep doing it. Harder. Okay, now let go. Boy, doesn't that feel better? Now your hand's relaxed, and guess what? It's open, not only to give, but to receive from a God who desires to pour out more. Why? So that, not that you can do this again, but so that you can do this again. Pray that God would give you a generous heart and a giving hand. That's what this is all about. That's the law of sowing and reaping. One final principle of this law. It's the fact that we reap later than we sow, after we sow. That's the principle of incubation. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the apostle said, don't be weary in doing good. Keep going. Don't be weary in doing good, because in due season, the right time, you will reap. If you do not give up. You know, right in the middle of the 2 Corinthians 9 passage, there's a quote from the Psalm, and sometimes you even wonder why it's there. I ask myself that question. God, why did you put this Psalm in the middle of this verse? It says, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. So God put that in the middle of this passage on giving to remind us that what we do in giving now, in ministering to those who are impoverished, whether it's physically impoverished or spiritually impoverished, when we give, that righteousness, that gift is rewarded forever. In our message on heaven, the last time we were together, we quoted from Revelation 14. It says, blessed are they, happy are they who die in the Lord, for their works do follow them. In other words, you have to wait on the harvest. Sometimes we give up if the harvest doesn't come in the next 15 minutes. You know, God, why am I not growing? Why am I not? We think if we don't become spiritual giants in the next 15 minutes that it's never going to happen. It takes time to grow a crop. It takes time to grow a Christian. And these are growing words, okay? These are growing words today. I want to see you grow in your faith. I want to see God use you. I want to see God give you His best, the greater things in your life. But you must cooperate with Him. That includes being willing to wait on Him, because He will come through in His own time. This means trusting God. It means not pushing providence or rushing the season. You don't plant a seed and then dig it up 5 minutes later to see if it's growing. And in our spiritual investments, we give knowing that in His own time, in His own way, God will give the return on the investment. Some are discouraged so easily. You know, Solomon was a wise man, and he was also a wealthy man. And he said in Ecclesiastes 11, cast your bread upon the water. You know what that means? Cast your bread upon the water. He's talking about exporting and importing. Put that bread, put that seed on a boat and send it out. Sometimes those boats don't come back for 2 or 3 years. But you cast your bread on the water, you send out the ship, and one day the ship's coming in. What you invested is coming back, big time. Big time. More than you possibly could have imagined. He said, I've not seen the righteous begging bread. God's children will never be beggars. Sometimes it takes years. It may take an eternity for you to see the impact and the influence of the seed that you have sown. God is able, that's what the scripture says, to make all grace and all sufficiency abound to you. You know why so many people don't give? You look at the church in America, less than 50% of members of churches give anything in a 3 or 4 month period of their church. That means that most churches are supported by less than half of its membership. It's missions programs, it's ministry to families and children, and on. And that the average gift that church members give is less than 3% of their income. That's of the half that do give, or the nearly half that give. That's not going to get it done. You know, as a pastor, over the years, I've seen and observed a couple of things regarding giving. Some, if not most, give their leftovers. Now, leftovers are really good after Thanksgiving. I like leftovers. Tastes good. But when it comes to God's church and God's work and investing in the kingdom of God, leftovers are not getting the job done. And if you give only what's left over at the end of the month or at the end of the year, what does that say about your God? Who your God is and what your God is. What does that say about what you believe about your God? Too many people are thinking, you know, you're really afraid. If I give, what if? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? What if I lose my retirement? What if I have unexpected expenses? That is nothing but fear, and fear is the opposite of faith. I'm challenging you to believe in a God who is able to make all grace abound to you, to supply you, to be sufficient for every good thing. As we sang a moment ago, in our weakness, that He is the source of our strength. When we don't have anything, He is our everything. That's the kind of God I believe in. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first part of everything you produce. Proverbs 3:9. Don't give God the least and the last, the leftovers. Because if you do, you're going to reap sparingly just a little bit of what God would do for you if you would sow generously and bountifully. So how am I supposed to do that? The scripture tells us that we are to give systematically, not emotionally, but systematically. Are you as careful about your financial partnership with God as you are your business and your home finances? Are you beginning with the first part of your income, honoring God, not with the last and the least, but with the best that you have? The first, that's the principle of the tithe, to give systematically and proportionately. Are you giving cheerfully? God loves a cheerful giver. That's what this passage says. That means passionately. That there is joy in giving. That there is pleasure. And to give generously, and oh yes, to give spontaneously. Now I know that's the opposite of giving structurally and systematically, as I said, but there ought to be a portion of our lives we just give because we see a need. You know, when you pass by the grocery store, you're going into Walmart, and the guy looking like Santa Claus is shaking a bell for the Salvation Army, put something in there. Don't repress generous impulses. Give away what you have and watch God give you more, and you will give again. Because then you're operating according to God's plan. God says, I'm gonna bless you, but you've got to be a part of the blessing. What if somebody said to you, a banker says to you, go into the vault, you have the authority to take everything out of the vault you can or you want. The vault is yours. Go in. And you come out with a penny. Now, whose fault is that? God says, I want to open the windows of heaven to bless you. I have stored up glorious things for you. The vault is open, and in Jesus' name, you can go there. But if you come out with just a penny, that's your own fault. Give, and it will be given unto you. You know what I've been praying this week as I plan this message? I've been praying that 2,000 people, I don't know why that number, but that's just the number that's been in my head, that 2,000 people who hear this message in this church today will say, I get it for the first time. I get this. And I want to start again in my Christian walk being generous and gracious and giving. I want to start living according to the law of the harvest in my life. And instead of taking and watching others, I want to be a part of what God is doing for His glory. I'm telling you all of this, number one, because it's in the Scripture. And number two, because as your pastor, I want to see God pour out His favor and His blessing upon your life. And I want to see God use you in a significant way, ways that you can not possibly imagine, so that when you get to heaven, you're not going to get the booby prize. Saved, but just barely there. But that you will be rewarded throughout all eternity because of the giving and the living of your life for the cause of Jesus Christ.